I want to tell people that everything should change. Stop the war. Take care of each other and keep each other happy.
Welcome to the Telling It Our Way podcast. I'm Allie.
And I'm Becca. In this podcast, we bring you stories by disabled people about disabled people. Stories from the daily lives of self-advocates with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
These are real people with complicated lives. They don't want your pity, and they do not exist to inspire you.
Yeah, this is not inspiration porn. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Becca.
So today, I will say, I feel like this season, we've been dealing with some really heavy topics. And so today, we wanted to focus on something a little different. We want to think about some of the dreams and goals that some of our storytellers have. What are some hopes for the future, impacts that they hope to have on people, these kinds of things.
You know, it's really interesting because our last episode, and if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and take a listen, is about expectations and the low expectations that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities often experience by able-bodied people, right? And what I like about today's episode is that it's also about expectations, but it's about expectations for us, right, for the world, from two disabled people.
Right. These are the kinds of expectations that our storytellers have for themselves, but also have for the world around them.
So we're going to start by hearing a little bit from Nick. What do you want us to know about Nick?
So Nick is going to tell us a little bit about his dreams to be an actor and to be a screenwriter.
Awesome. Let's listen.
My name is Nick and I'm 22. My personality is funny because my mom raised me that way. I love acting, I love watching movies and seeing the actors do their thing. I especially like TV and movies from the 70s and 80s. I love horror films. The movies begin and end with the main hero surviving, and I picture myself as the hero. I would think, oh, that's weird, all my friends are dead. How am I the only one left? It's hard to pick one, but I think my favorite is Halloween. It's scary and Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. I also like comedy, romance, sports. There's so many, I can't list all of them. I started acting class in 2023. The first time I got there, I thought it was epic. We do acting, dancing, and singing. We practice what our characters would do. Being in character means acting like a different person. In the last play, I was a character named Nicholas J. Frog. He is a pirate born in the 16th or 17th century. We don't know much about his backstory or about his parents, except his parents are pirates like him. I don't know how he became a pirate. Maybe he was born that way, or he learned how to be one when he got older. He goes yo-ho and drinks rum. He doesn't steal ships, but he loses ships sometimes. They get blown up or wrecked, and he goes, how am I gonna find my way home now? I made a lot of acting friends during acting class, and I'm proud of it. I learned that no matter what, we'll be there for each other and have each other's backs. I learned how to come on stage when it's time and wait patiently until my turn comes. I can't talk until it's my turn to say my lines. I never get nervous on stage. If you get stage fright, take deep breaths and go on stage. If you forget your lines, you'll remember them. I practice my lines in private dance at home. I listen to my character's theme song once a day. I would love to do my acting in the future, maybe dramatic acting. I want to write my own plays too. I want to know why characters have trauma and why they act like this. Did something bad happen to them? Did they lose a loved one? Did they lose a friend? Did they lose a pet? I love acting. I feel awesome as an actor, especially like walking up there and getting big laughs. I feel hilarious in my acting roles. It makes me feel epic.
I can really feel Nick's stage presence when he's performing this story for us. I think that he has a real way of connecting with his audience just being here in the studio.
Oh, absolutely, right? I think that you can definitely feel the performer when Nick starts to talk. And you know what I really like about the way that Nick talks about acting and writing is that it seems like he's really interested in sharing truths through acting, right? So he talks about how he wants to write about characters who have experienced trauma so that he can share that experience with other people, right? And that kind of like authenticity through performance.
You know, I think that we don't make enough space in our culture for disabled performers generally, and particularly people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And when we do make that space for them, let's say we make a space for autistic actors as, you know, playing an autistic classmate, right? That our expectation is that they are playing themselves, basically, right? That they're drawing from their own experience, but that they're not actually stretching themselves to understand a character that somehow is not them.
Ooh, right. I mean, this kind of quote-unquote authentic performance, which for many people, they just assume that that's not a performance at all, right? And so in that way, we're really devaluing the skills of performers with developmental disabilities. And as we know from our creativity episode, the number of people with developmental disabilities working in creative fields is already kind of much lower than it should be. And so there's a lot of work to do, but I think with someone like Nick whose performance and whose persona is so big, I think there's definitely a space for him, and I'm really excited to see him grow in his role as an actor and a writer.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people with intellectual developmental disabilities are often also sidelined if they are given roles to develop into comedic roles, right? As comedians, as jokesters. And sometimes we also think that folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities, their dreams are only ever going to be sort of lighthearted dreams, like wanting to become a particular, you know, wanting to be famous and wanting to be a famous actor or something like that. But what we know is that disabled people are just like everybody else. And there's a broad range of dreams that disabled people have. And we're going to take a turn with this next story, right? Because we're going to hear from somebody that we met last season, Darius. And last season, he told us about his experience in the Special Olympics. This is a much different piece where he shares how he hopes to influence people to think about racism and violence as he speaks from his experience as a Black man with an intellectual disability.
Yeah, let's listen.
The thing I want to change is racism. I feel sad when I see stories about racism. I made new friends at Walmart. They are from a different country. They are serious hands, and they are from a place with a war. The news, what I was happened. I was felt sorry for what happened to them. I don't know how they kill the person, kids, and I wish they change it. They said, "Thank you for the change. You are a kind person to speak up for us." And self-advocacy person, voices of violence of the world. Someday I want to be on the news and be an ambassador to help. I want to make some changes. I want there to be kind people in the world. I want to tell people that everything should change. Stop the war. Take care of each other and keep each other happy.
Thank you, Darius, for that story. One thing I just want to remark on. So Darius actually works with me on a project around access to the news for people with developmental disabilities. And I think you can feel that in some of what he's expressing here, right? That, you know, what he's talking about is the way that he has, you know, perceived some of the recent current events in the world and the kind of influence he hopes to have on changing those events, right? And so thinking about access to the news in understandable ways kind of rose to my mind when I was listening to Darius's story.
I was also thinking about how, because of where Darius works, right, and the region that he lives in the United States, he's in close proximity to people that have direct experience with these, with places in Israel, in Palestine, with dislocation, with war, with genocide, right? He's hearing about this from coworkers, mm-hmm. right? And he's sensing that, and he has that empathy because he's in such direct relationships. So it is about access to the news, absolutely, 100%. But it's also he's hearing about it in a very personal way from these people that he cares about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really love the way that he connects it to his own experience as a Black man, as a person with an intellectual disability who has been on the receiving end of discrimination and racism and ableism, and how that influences what he wants to then impact in the world. And we actually had an additional conversation with Darius on mic about his story and about some of the things that he thought about it. And so we want to just share a little bit more of that conversation with all of you because we think it really adds to Darius's story.
Let's listen. Darius, I'm wondering,
mm-hmm.
what was it like to meet people at work who came from places where there was war? What did that? How did that make you feel?
Oh, I watched it on the news, and they I talked to them at Walmart. I said, hopefully they're not slaves or nothing like that. Wish people would be free to be in the United States of America.
What was it about this experience, watching the news, meeting people at work, that made you want to tell the story?
When I watched the news, and when I was in Washington, D.C., I saw a protest about it, and they said it's kind of sad how this war is going on, and I wish it would stop.
Yeah. What else do you want to share?
I want to be ambassador to both sides, to speak up and talk on news, on different ones, and tell them how they feel and how their kids should be treated like everybody else and get respect and kind to each other.
What do you think each side needs to understand about the other?
Because one side is different from the other, mm-hmm. like Israel and the other one. Everybody was taught to protest.
I know that it's really important for you to share
mm-hmm.
about racism and violence.
Mm-hmm.
How did that become something that's important for you to talk about with people?
I wish everybody would be kind-hearted, like, and not mean to each other, and not kill the babies and stuff and their families, and I wish no guns and stuff.
Anything else you want to add?
Oh, one day I want to talk to meet the president and tell him how people feel.
Thank you again to Darius, and thank you to all of you for listening. And before we end, we want to thank our contributors, Nick and Darius, our associate producer, Connor Smenner, our intern, Ava Gottschalk, and our Telling It Our Way advisory board members, Jorita Fox, Quinn Thomas, and Gavin Daly.
And special thanks to WGTE and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer.
To access transcripts for this show and any other show notes, please visit wgte.org/ourway.
I'm Allie Day.
And I'm Becca Monteleone. And you've been listening to Telling It Our Way.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.